Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.
Welcome to another episode of Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, the godfather of vocal groups and the last man standing of the Shy Lights. Now, he has had a wonderful, wonderful weekend past. He received another award from the R&B Rhythm and Blues Music R&B Award out of Chicago. We understand his good friend Odie Anderson picked that up for him. I think that's his last name, but our co-producer will correct me when she comes on. Now, Marshall Thompson and the Shy Lights were just at the Chicago Theater, and they rock the house. They weren't the only ones there, but you know what? They're the ones with that history. When you hear Chicago and you hear Shy Lights, make the connection. Now, Marshall Thompson is not currently in the building. We are honoring women This is Women's History Month. I am Beverly Black. I am the creator of Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. This is brought to you live by Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International Family brand, of which I am also the creator and founder. My co-producer, the Queen of Diamonds, Daisy Brown, who has put in 46 years and counting with the Shy Life family. She's here holding it down with me, so I'm going to bring on my co-producer. Daisy, how you doing, Queen?
I'm fine. Good evening, sweetie. How are you?
I'm blessed. Everyone. Now, you know, we're going to bring on our guests in a bit, but I want to just thank you, you know, for being here again, another episode and holding it down. I hope you're feeling most blessed this evening.
Oh, yes. God is good. God is good.
Amen.
He has his arms wrapped all around me.
Well, all right now.
I'm feeling
well, that's
mighty
what matters.
Fine.
Well, yes. That is what matters. Now, before I bring on our special guest, I want to remind everyone about the females that have put it down in the history of music. And I'm going to run through this list because there's not often that we get the opportunity to talk to the sisters out of the music industry. Now, the sister that we're bringing on tonight, Cheryl Cooley, from the female-fronted band Climax. Y'all act like you know the party is about to get cracking on Soul School Music. But now, before there was Cheryl Cooley, there were so many women before her that have brought music that we are not able to bring them to the studio, to the platform. Some of them have gone on and passed the baton, but we want to acknowledge a list compiled. And there's about 45 on here, but I just want to, and this is not of the hip hop, rap music era. This is the foundation of soul music, okay? So number one on the list and in the order, subsequently from there, I'm going to go in the order in which they're listed on here. Aretha Franklin, Etta James, Nina Simone, Whitney Houston, Gladys Knight, Tina Turner, Ella Fitzgerald, Donna Summer, Billie Holiday, Sade Adu, Patti LaBelle, Dinah Washington, Chaka Khan, Roberta Flack, Shirley Bassey, Tammy Terrell, Anita Baker, Natalie Cole, Alicia Keys, Jennifer Hudson, Tracy Chapman, Lauryn Hill, Amy Winehouse, Jill Scott, Mavis Staples, Diana Ross, Erykah Badu, Bessie Smith, Beyonce Knowles, Toni Braxton, Minnie Riperton, Mary J. Blige, Betty LaVette, Janet Jackson, CeCe Winans, India Arie, Angie Stone, Denise Williams, Macy Gray, Mariah Carey, Ann Peebles, Yolanda Adams, Leona Lewis, Coco Taylor, Queen Latifah. And, you know, I want to add to that Valerie Simpson. Who they playing with, okay? Come on now, stop. Now, I know there are so many more that we can add to that list, and that's why we're going to do it like this. We're going to welcome our guest from the female-fronted group, Climax. We have Cheryl Cooley, and we want to say we got a meeting in the ladies' room right here on Soul School Music. Cheryl, come
That's
on in here.
Right.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome,
you know what?
Welcome.
That's right. Welcome up in this house. Now, you know, you heard that list. And we all have our favorites, so we're going to start like this. I want to know, when did music begin in your soul?
Oh, wow.
you know, well, first I have to give credit to my mother. For some reason, every other Christmas from the thing I was 1 or 2 years old, I always got a toy guitar for Christmas. And from that, I, you know, kind of twinkled around with it a little bit. And just so happened my sister was married to a jazz musician by the name of Hubert Laws. And he had a guitar also,
stop.
Even though he's a
stop,
yeah, flower.
Stop, stop. Don't go too fast. Don't go too fast. What? What?
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Lost family. Hubert, Ronnie, Deborah. Come on now. So go ahead.
Yeah.
So Hubert Lost is your brother-in-law.
Well, at the time he was. That my sister and him aren't married anymore. They met at Juilliard. So at the time they were married. And
All right.
He was on tour with Mongo Santa Maria, and he had his guitar in my house, and I was trying to tune my guitar like his, and, you know, as God, the universe, or whatever your belief is, would do, I was playing a TV theme song by accident, and all of a sudden, my sister jumped up and said, hey, let's get Cheryl some guitar lessons. So that's how I started on my journey playing guitar, and I've been playing since I was 11 years old.
Wonderful.
So you're 11. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
You never know what gems people will drop. So now you're 11, and at the time your sister's married?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was married.
Oh, that's cool. Long. That's cool. I have a sister 10 years my senior. So that's cool. So she's looking at her baby sister, and she sees the musical genius in you.
Right. Right, yeah. So once I, you know, showed interest in the guitar and they got me guitar lessons and, you know, since there was such a big age difference between my sister and I, we were like the only child in the same family. So the guitar was my playmate, you know.
Daisy.
Wow.
Tell her, girl, she is too much. She said, the only child in the same family. Girl, I will start cracking up on you. Don't you start. Wow.
Yeah.
I can relate. I can relate to that. Wow.
Right,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
So
you
start the lessons.
Yeah. So I you know, play guitar and my teachers in school would actually drag me out of my own class to come and play for their different classes, like, you know, geography or mathematics or whatever. So I kind of took a tour of the school by playing in the different classrooms. And from there, I went on to study composition and arranging in high school, where I actually started writing.
Wait. I am so sorry. But what high school did you go to that afforded you that? What were you in a private school, Juilliard, or where were you?
No, I went to Crenshaw High in Los Angeles, California.
L.A. in the house, y'all. Okay, so, and you were able to take music and composition. Well, that makes sense because of the, you know, the high level of art. That's just like if you were in the valley, you get farming. Okay, so that makes sense. I was just wondering what high school was offering composition and music to that level. So in high school at Crenshaw High. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, the school had just opened up, so everything was brand new. And the teacher saw that I was really interested and you know, basically kind of took me under his wing and, you know, taught me everything I could possibly absorb about music. And by the time I was in my senior year, I was writing, arrangement charts for the marching band for football season. So, you know, the school, the class would tell me what song they wanted me to write off of the radio, and I would write a complete chart for all the horns and the drums and all of that. So, you know, by the time I got to college, I already knew all that stuff. So,
I just want to say what is so amazing is that Marshall Thompson was in the marching band at his school, wasn't he, Daisy?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, you heard him say it a million times.
Know.
But guess what?
I don't know.
I'm a jar your memory.
All kinds of bands. He, I know he played for Gladys Knight. He played for Major.
Well, wait,
Lance.
I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about before that out of high school. Remember he went to school with Emmett Till and he was teaching him
drumming? Yeah.
Yeah, he now I told you I was going to jog your memory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's amazing. Cheryl Marshall Thompson, he also, you know, went through school, the marching band. So, wow. Well, if he gets the opportunity to join the ladies, you know how it get hot in the kitchen when it's all women. You know, that's okay.
Women.
That's
yes.
okay. You know, he resting up from all of that touring over the weekend and the previous week. But so in high school, you're writing the band's so you're basically putting together the entire, you know, orchestra, basically. I call it an orchestra because that's what they remind me of, the brass and the drums. And so you put it all together?
Put it all together, and, you know, they would play it for the each week. I'd have to have a whole entire song written per week. So from that, you know, I learned how to do it fast.
That is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
Without a computer, how
without
about that?
Without a computer, yeah. Everything was by hand. Yeah.
You sure have a point there now, because although we're in these times, she's talking about those times, and that's not
that
long
right.
ago. Let's understand, we are talking to a young woman, you know, because even though the industry has since allowed for electronic drums and all kinds of different synthesized music, she is talking about the authentic, real instruments, and that is
when
you are a true musician, a true musician, reading, writing, and playing those instruments. So now, Cheryl, fast forward, how many years have you been playing the guitar?
Oh, see, then I would tell my age. So we'll go on to the next question.
Okay, next question. Let's go back to, okay, so out of high school, where does your musical journey take you out of high school?
Oh, okay. Well, I couldn't go to a music school that was for 4 years because there wasn't one in California, and I wasn't going to leave my parents. So I went to City College and studied commercial music.
You're breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to have to ask you to repeat that, please.
Well, I was at the as far as I could go was City College, Los Angeles City College, for commercial music. Because they didn't have a 4-year course that was in California, and I wasn't going to leave my parents.
Right, but you're still breaking up, so I don't know what you took in college. Let me see if we can adjust the line a little bit. Okay, what did you take in college?
Commercial music.
I don't know what happened, sweetie. We can't hear you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's breaking up a little bit. It's breaking up just a little bit there. So we're hearing every other word and not really clear on what it is you took in college. And I really want to know that. Are you on a speaker device?
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Better?
Yeah, that's a little
now?
Better. Yes, I can.
Okay,
there
yeah.
you go.
Oh, cool.
All right, there you go.
So yeah, I took commercial music at Los Angeles City College because that was as far as I could go at the time. It was a 4-year course in California. And about the parents' home and go to another state to study.
Right, thank you, okay. That makes sense to me.
Right.
You know,
so from,
it makes a lot of sense.
So from, you know, it's interesting. I played in different cover bands around the city, different clubs and casual type things. I played in a jazz band that was funded by the city of Compton. We played a lot of different events, and from there, like about 2 years later, I ran into I was at a rehearsal room when I ran into these girls that said they had an all-female band they were trying to put together.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay, so what's the name of the band? Hey, I'm like, okay. I wasn't real impressed because I could kind of feel that they, you know, their musical talent wasn't what I was used to playing with around. So I, you know, they told me the rehearsal to come to, and I did. And the next day I got the guilt, sister. I should have went. I should have called. So I called. I said, so when's your next rehearsal? They said, tomorrow. I went to the rehearsal, and again, the musical level, the musical talent level wasn't really what I was used to playing with, but they were having fun. They were having fun, and the music was fun to play. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll stay.
Right, right. Wow. Let me see what this can become.
Right, right. So, you know, we put together some songs, and we actually played a talent show one night, and we had to play the house band's instruments. And they looked at us and said, oh, girl, man, we know you guys can't play. You can't touch our instruments. Let us play. And we went and talked to the club owner, and he finally talked the band into letting us play their instruments. And, of course, they were amazed that, you know, all-female band could really hold their own because we had practiced. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I brought in all of my musical training and, you know, showed everybody what to play and how to play and all of that. So we were pretty much well rehearsed when we started that. And then in a bank, and I was telling my supervisor about this all-girl band I was in, and she said, well, give me a demo tape and a promo picture. I'll give it to my uncle, Johnny Payne.
Your supervisor said give you a demo and a picture, and she'll give it to her uncle, and her uncle is Johnny Tate. Hello? Cheryl?
Lost her.
All right. Yeah, we lost her. So what we're going to do is go to a commercial, and we'll get her back in a bit. Hang on, y'all, to Soul School Music with Climax.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you? Now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagements, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites at The Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
All right, we're back with Cheryl on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, and I'm Beverly Black. With me holding it down is Daisy Brown, the Queen of Diamonds. Cheryl, we have you back now, and you were saying that your supervisor at the bank told you to give her a demo tape and a picture, and she'd give it to her uncle. Now, who was her uncle?
His name was Johnny Pate, and he was a producer for Peebo Bryson at the time.
Okay.
Peebo Bryson and Minnie Riperton. Yeah, he was a producer out of Chicago. And so he listened to the demo tape, but he wasn't impressed at all. But he just happened to be having lunch with a lady by the name of Margaret Nash, who was the vice president of Solar Records. And, you know, that part, if anything, I always tell people when one door closes, that doesn't mean another door won't open. Because he passed it on to somebody he thought may, you know, be able to do something with it. And, of course, when she heard it, she loved the idea of an all-female band, and she, you know, liked the sound that we had and knew that we could be developed into a great artist. So she took the demo tape and came and listened to our rehearsal and brought in the president of the company, Dick Griffey, and they signed us immediately.
Wow. Congratulations.
Amazing.
Wow, wow, wow. So that is absolutely amazing because you're out of high school, obviously, but you're still at that young level in your career, and you're working at a bank, and you guys go from, well, you are working around the city, then you run into these ladies putting together a female-fronted band. You bring them up to the level of music that you've acquiesced in because of your education and training. Now there's this additional training. You all have come up to a level of performance to where your demo tape gets you signed to the first major right out the gate.
Yeah.
How
amazing
was that? Wow, that is amazing.
Well, you know, for me, for my journey, my life journey, I knew when I started playing guitar that I always wanted to be a star, you know, a star. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to play guitar. I wanted to make a record. That was my goal. That's the only thing I saw. That was what drove me for my whole musical career, that's what I knew that I knew that I knew that I wanted to do. So I'm saying that to say, there was a level that wasn't surprised that it happened because I expected it to happen. But I was grateful
you were
that
driven.
It happened the way it did. Because, you know, I mean, being in an all-female band, I mean, that made a ding in history. That made a bookmark in history. Even as of today, Climax is still the only R&B all-female band that has charted on Billboard. R&B. There is no other R&B all-female band that charted. So
that's right.
Just knowing that I knew that I wanted to do that and it manifested in my life, that has basically been my whole life journey since. I mean, things just happen that way. I just feel it, I know it, and it happened.
You have that go ahead, Daisy.
I was going to say that always been instilled in my mind by my mother, your gift will make room for you. So there you go. And it not only made room for you, but look at how many doors it opened.
right. Exactly.
Doors to so many rooms.
yeah. So from there, I mean, being on Solar Records, we were able to go on tour with, you know, artists like Midnight Star and Shalimar. I mean, we had such a great musical family that we were dealing with Solar Records. I mean, they really took us under their arm and taught us everything about, you know, the business and producing and how to write music. And they really did a fantastic job of keeping us, you know, kind of family orientated with all the artists and everything. We had a lot. We had a great group with them that, you know, lasted about 10 years.
Wow. Wonderful. Now, how did your family respond? How was you've made it, you're leaving home for, you know, those first times away and then those longer times away and those out of the country trips? And how was all of this fame and, you know, growth being received by your family?
Oh, they were very supportive. I mean, even when I told them I had signed a record deal, they kind of like, you did what? I was like, why did you make that decision on your own? And then, you know, when I started going into the studio and recording records, you know, they were very supportive. You know, they came to my shows. You know, I mean, my family was great. They never discouraged me in anything that I felt that I you know, wanted to do or wanted to pursue. They were very encouraging.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. Okay. Excuse me. So what are some of the or where are some of the most memorable places that this particular part of the journey has taken you? Now that you've signed with Solar 10 years in, where are some of the places in the world that are most memorable and why?
Okay, I think the very first place that comes to mind is Biloxi, Mississippi.
Okay. Well, that's why I said why.
The water and the beach was so clear, and you know, we just really had a great time. You know, it was new. The travel, the touring, was new to us at the time, something that we had never done before. So it was great. We were right there on the beach, and we were from the Pacific Ocean, and that was a lot different than being in the Gulf of Mexico. And then from there, we toured to a lot of cities that we only heard about in the history books. And that was really, inspiring, educational. It was fun. It was exciting. Then we even went to some other countries like the Philippines, Korea. We had a great time in Korea. We played a lot of the military bases there. We had an actual tour that we toured a lot of military bases. And then we went to England and Cambridge and Amsterdam. So we were able to really see some countries that we could have only dreamed about going to. But, being that we were on tour and playing music, we were able to really kind of touch the people there with our music.
Wow, what a beautiful journey.
Excuse me. Did you ever do Greenland?
No, we never got to Greenland.
How fortunate you were.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too much.
Okay.
Now,
that would have been a story in itself.
Oh, wow.
That would have been something else right there. Greenland?
Yes.
What about Africa?
No, never got to Africa.
All right. So the travels that you enjoyed and the places that it has taken you has also amassed credits on the world scale. So tell us about the different awards and accolades that came out of the releases of your albums, and give us your albums in the order of their release and the awards accolades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Our first album was called Never Underestimate the Power of a Woman. Our second album was called Girls Will Be Girls. And on the Girls Will Be Girls album was a song called Wild Girls that the producers Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis was their first production outside of the time that they produced on us. And then, of course, our third album was Meeting in the Ladies Room. Our fourth album was just entitled Climax, and we kind of nicknamed it the Pink and Black album. And then our last album, with just three of us, was called The Max Is Back.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, Daisy had a question about the name.
Oh, yeah. Where did the name come from? I mean, whose brilliant idea was it, and especially to add that extra X at the end?
Well, we were looking for a word that meant the ultimate peak of musical excitement. So it was like, oh, what about climax? Oh, let's change the lettering. Let's make it interesting.
I see. Musical excitement. Are you sure?
Of course.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Well, see, now that's why they got to tour those military bases, too, because now give it to yourself. You guys hit the building, and everybody woke up. That was the wake-up call, okay?
Yeah.
And it was sort of just like when Salt and Pepper when Salt and Pepper hit the stage, when En Vogue hit the stage, when TLC hit the stage, everyone had their own way of letting you know I'm here, Destiny's Child. So when Climax hit the stage, they let you know. They woke everybody up, and you wanted to be that girl. And you, there was always somebody whose style you were drawn to, because that would be what the outfit you would wear, right? That's how women do. We always feel like we can wear that too. Now, I couldn't have worn that then, but in my own mind today, I think I can. Just in my own mind, right? So now, whose idea was to, really bring out the that sort of clothing to evoke, the sort of
I won't say erotica, but it was like, you know, it was very provocative. You know, it goes with the name.
Yeah,
it goes with
the
stance and the position, you know, of being, you know, a badass female group, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, we always like to find something that was fun to wear, colorful. Our band colors are pink and black, so we always try to find something kind of around pink and black. If not, it was always about, you know, the colors. And in the 80s, it was a lot of color in fashion. So that was
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we looked for. The first video that we ever filmed was The Men All Pause, when videos started being popular. And I remember the stylist giving me just a T-shirt and some tights, and that was it. And I kept saying, well, where is the rest of it? But, you know, the way she showed me, you know, of course, how it was supposed to be worn, you know, no one could ever know that I was very self-conscious on the film about wearing just tights and a T-shirt. And that was it. I was like, oh, my gosh, what is my mother going to think, you know? So,
uh-huh.
you know, the 80s really kind of gave us a chance to be creative with the dress and the colors and like that. But we really do try to, you know, kind of stick with the kind of pink and black theme as much as we can.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's probably good that you did do it in the 80s and not the 70s. That's when the Sizzlers and the Daisy Dukes and all of them were out. That would have really been a climaxing scene. Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think America could have taken that.
Okay. Now, let us know the music, who wrote which songs. Of course, you know, we love The Men All Pause and we love Meeting in the Ladies' Room. So which one came out first, and, you know, give us the contributors to that, to those.
Oh, right. Okay, so, our first song, but the first song that really made a big impact was The Men All Pause, which was written by Joyce Irby and Bernadette Cooper, the drummer and bass player. And then The Meeting in the Ladies' Room was actually written by Midnight Star, because they were also label mates with us.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, we were just with Midnight Star in Vegas February, 10th?
Yes.
And, yeah. So we didn't get a chance to take the pictures and do the Geniuses Common videos or anything like that, but I have always been a fan of Midnight Star. They are no joke, and so I could definitely see the talent tree. And, you know, and that's another beautiful thing, is that you do get the ability to, you know, have fun with the label mates and the talent that comes by way of that. You know, someone may write a song, but it doesn't necessarily appeal to their group, so they can shop it around the label.
Right.
So that's kind of neat,
right.
There.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's really neat there. Mm-hmm. All right. So we know that there's some things on the forefront. We know that you have a book in the makings, and I know that I should be seeing you in June in L.A. when I come up there for the hip-hop event. But tell us what is on the horizon, and tell us about your book and your story.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, we're going to be playing at the City of Industry for the Old School Explosion show. That is on June 23rd. It's going to have DJ Quick and Rodney O and Ronnie Houston and a host of other great artists. And then August 4th, we're going to be in Anaheim, California at the Honda Center, with Morris Day and the Barquets and Club Nouveau and Confunction and the Jazz Band. And then, you know, we're constantly, you know, adding to our calendar. So there are going to be some other dates that are going to be put on. And, I mean, I invite your listeners to check us out on our website on climax.com, where we have our calendar updates all the time, and all of our social media is there. So, you know, with that, you just never know because we're living for the phone to ring, and somebody say, okay, let's go here, let's go there. So, yeah, we're kind of always on call whenever the contracts come in, and we jump on the plane and go perform. And also, you know, I have a friend of mine that's kind of helping me put some of my memories in a book together. So we'll see if that comes out okay. There's a lot of things that have happened that people don't realize how much, mixture that goes into actually being in a band and being on tour and making records. You know, sometimes people just think you blink your eyes and all of a sudden everything is all, you know, mixed together perfect. But there's a lot of work involved, and there's a lot of contributions, not only just from the artists, but there's a lot of contributions from people that are the support staff. You know, not only the record companies, but the managers and the booking agents, and there's just a lot of people that are behind the artists to be successful. And, you know, a lot of them don't get that recognition, but they're very needed for the artists to be seen by the audiences and then the buying public.
Well, you know, I think also more as important are the family members, because they are the ones who sacrifice the absence of that loved one, you know, on occasion, especially when it's holiday time, birthday time, and special occasion time, and they're touring somewhere and they're home alone, you know.
Sure.
That significant other, and they are to be commended. It's amazing how there's some instances where some people believe that it's all glitz and glamour until they get into that situation, and then they realize that it's not. You know, that it's not only the limousine ride and the nice clothes and the fantastic dinners and the champagne and the caviar, but it's the sacrifices that go along with that. So I salute the significant others and the families of the artists as well.
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right. So we are about to start this party and play some music as we go out here. But Cheryl, it has been an absolute pleasure. I've been looking forward to this. And Daisy and I have been looking forward to having the ladies represent. So
yes,
you have represented
yes.
very well for the ladies during Women's History Month. And thank you so much for being here with us. Did you have any final words you want to say to anyone that's thinking about getting into the entertainment business?
Follow your passion. I mean, whatever your passion is, whether it's music, whether it's painting rocks, whether it's making clothes, I encourage you to follow your passion, because you're going to regret it if you don't just kind of jump in there with both feet and do whatever you can to make your art known to the world. It's just very important to your soul, to your psyche. Do it. Just do it. Just jump in there and express your talent.
That sounds like great advice to me.
And to me as well, Daisy. So you know what? On that note, we're going to go ahead and rock some music. I want to thank you all for being here with me, Soul School Music, with our guest, Cheryl Cooley of Climax. This is Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. I am Beverly Black, co-producer with Daisy Brown. You can email us to have new music featured. On our last show, we actually featured a new music artist. We did a tribute to Tina Marie, and a young lady came on there at the the second half. And so we decided that we did want to continue to have new artists come and let us know who they are and what they're bringing. But it has to be the real thing. Can't be no Amos and Andy. So email us at thatsoulschoolmusic@gmail.com. You can also follow Tribe Family Channel on Facebook, facebook.com/ Tribe Family Channel, on Twitter at Tribe Family US, Soul School Music on Twitter as well. I'm Beverly Black. I am the creator and founder under our parent company, Gumbo for the Soul International. And you can hook up with me at Gumbo for the Soul on Twitter or visit our website, GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. Daisy, did you have any final comments?
I just want to say it was my pleasure to have had our wonderful guest. And I'm just very happy to have had the time to been with you this evening, my dear. God bless
you. And God bless you, too. And Cheryl, God bless you. Thank you for holding it down with me, Daisy. You know I love you, Queen, and we will be back on. Thank you. We'll be back March 28th. You know, we got the escorts, and they'll be bringing that soul school music. Look over your shoulder. You'll find me. That is my favorite. That is a favorite. So I cannot wait. Be sure to listen to the archive show at blogtalkradio.com/ Gumbo for the Soul. We're on the air most days. We have shows, a show tomorrow, Millennial Money Management. Friday, Hip Hop, You Don't Stop. We're giving a tribute to Eazy-E. We will have Van Silk, and he is the promoter and he discovered Force MD. His co-host is Kool Cal, the original Star Child, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And then on Saturday, we have Incarcerated Lives Matter 2. We will have the founder of Incarcerated Lives Matter, Valerie Shaw. And then you want to come back on Sunday, March 25th. We're going to continue with our tribute to women by having a special happy birthday tribute celebration for Aretha Franklin.
Aretha.
March 25th. Riri, baby. And that is her birthday. And that show is dedicated to my grandmother, whose birthday is also celebrated March 25th. So be sure to follow the tribe and continue to be blessed through the rest of your weekend. So we're going to, through the rest of your week. And we're going to go out with Climax, the menopause, and meeting in the ladies' room. So be blessed,
Queen. Now.
And
good
thank
night.
You for being here with me.
You're
good
welcome.
Night. God bless.
Good night, all.
Blue leather suit. My nails were done. My hair was fierce. And I was riding in a Cooper's limousine.
Don't you want to ride? I was at home feeling crazy. So I went down to the speakeasy. Soon as my feet hit the door, I had all attention from the dance floor. Don't you know the men are boss? The men are in the right of the groove. The men are.
Thank you. don't slap me, cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, cause I'm not in the mood. Don't